Joining me now from the Piedmont Triad International Airport in Greensboro, North Carolina, just rolls off the tongue, but Rob Jameson, who I work with through Dungeon Wrestling, he's our photographer and a great guy and a big-time wrestling fan. You made the trip to Greensboro, man. Did you make it in time, first of all?
Barely. Okay. It was about 12 hours for a three-hour flight to get down here. I had enough time to just drop my bag at my Airbnb, get into an Uber, and get down to the Coliseum for a tremendous show.
Okay, did you make it in time for the 0 hour, or were you running a little late? Oh, okay, so you got to see everything then.
Well, I missed 0 hour because I'm a good dad, and I waited in one of the longest merch lines I've ever been a part of to get a t-shirt for my son. So
nice. Which shirt did you get him?
It was the general one with... just all the, I think it had all three main event. Oh no, it had the women's, Sting, Darby, and the Young Bucks, and then the three in the main event. And on the back, it says, "I was there for Sting's last match."
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah.
If I was thinking, I would have got you a Grammy one, but then again, I wasn't there, so that shirt would mean nothing to me. But
it's a big lie. It'd be a big lie.
Well, a lie in pro wrestling, that never happens.
Right.
So walk us through the process, I guess, first of all. I mean, we could go through match by match here, but I want to go through you even getting your tickets. Like, you had messaged me a while ago saying, yeah, I'm going to go to the show. Did you manage to get tickets first run? Were they through a secondary market? How did you get your tickets?
Yeah, so basically, I've got a buddy who lives in Maine who I talk wrestling with pretty much daily.
Okay.
And when Sting announced that his last match would have been at Revolution 2024, we joked around, like, how cool would it be at that show? Amazing. Didn't really think too much about it. And then the pre-sale happened, and... That kind of put a little bit more pressure on it of, this could happen. Do we want to try and at least get tickets just to see? And I mean, if it didn't work out, we'd throw them up on the secondary market, the resale market.
Right.
And it came down to, well, I mean, if tickets are a certain amount, like we didn't want to pay $500 for ringside. We just wanted to be in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And the seats that we had were very reasonable. Great view. We picked up two tickets, and then just along the way, it was, oh geez, flights are $500-$600 round trip or whatever. And then just randomly, I looked, and there was a flight for about $100 less than every other flight that I looked at. That was a sign. This needed to happen. And just as we get an announcement in the airport, this trip, just every step along the way, just everything fell into place. Even just a challenge to get down here between Calgary and Greensboro with a overnight in Chicago. It was all well worth it. It was all destined to happen to get down here. And geez, if I missed this show, I would have been kicking myself pretty hard.
You know, as I was thinking about it, I mean, I knew I was coming to this job in Lethbridge, so for me, it was just a case of, you know what, I got to take care of real life. But I thought about being there too. And you would actually run it by me. Hey, do you want to come? And I'm like, I can't do it right now. But still, being able to watch it and being able to see what happened, I mean, these are the moments that make wrestling fans, right? When it came down to actually being at the show, you're in your seats, you were kind of facing the entrance way, like you were on the opposite side of the entrance, you were higher up. But what was the energy like in the building as soon as you got to your seat? Like, how did it feel when everybody was anticipating the event that night?
The weird thing that I experienced was during the show, the quality of the matches, everything put together. I kind of joked that, geez, like everybody was on this card except for Adam Copeland. Like, everybody had a spot on this show, and well deserved to everybody who had a match. Every match took you away from Sting. They didn't overhype him during the show. They did the 0 hour. They talked about it. Once the main pay-per-view happened, the pacing that you saw on TV was the pacing that happened in the arena, obviously. But
yeah,
like, other than seeing people with face paint, with the t-shirts and everything, there wasn't a lot put onto it until the end of the triple threat match. And then it was just this kind of like pull back into like the, holy crap, this is happening now. So kudos to AEW for you know, the spotlight was on Sting. This was his final match, but they had an entire card to get through. And I can't say that there was one match that that didn't end up being a good quality match. Like, you kind of expect one or two to kind of be kind of downers or just didn't quite click.
Right.
They nailed it on every match, which kind of actually helped that final match be that much more special, because you kind of just forgot about him. Like, holy crap. Like, it wasn't, I think it was like Survivor Series a couple of years back where they really pushed the anniversary of The Rock, and then The Rock didn't come out.
Right.
But we didn't have any of that, of like Sting's career, like every 5 minutes, mentions of Sting every 5 minutes. It was just a smooth front to back card.
Yeah, I'll give you that for sure. I mean, the matches stood on their own, and that was kind of the nice thing about it, is that you weren't getting beat over the head with Sting mentions throughout the night. And not that he wouldn't be worthy of them, to say the least, but I mean, you're also in a position where maybe people are checking out an AEW pay-per-view for the first time. So why not use that time to showcase more about the talents and those storylines? And I think that was actually a really good decision by them. Other than obviously the tag match, which would you pick as being your match of the night? I mean, we had 9 matches in total, 11 if you count the Zero Hour, but like you said, you weren't there for those ones. So out of the main card, I guess, which would be your second favorite match, I suppose?
Hands down, Will Ospreay. That match with Takeshita was, it almost felt like going in, it was a highlight of, hey, now Will Ospreay's here, but Takeshita matched him move for move, spot for spot, energy. Those two put on an absolute clinic of where wrestling fans, I think, I don't mean to use a huge paintbrush, but I think wrestling fans in general want to see more of that style for the most part. Like, that's kind of where wrestling might be trending, but oh my gosh, like, they were doing things that I didn't even imagine were physically possible. And like that bump on the turnbuckle with the suplex.
Yeah, where he hooked his legs over.
Yeah, I cringed way hard that I think I pulled a muscle. Like, it was, to see that live was amazing. But to see those two athletes just, like, I don't know how much of it would have been Ospreay just wants to be him and put on the show that he's able to do, or how many of the talent actually wanted to go over and above because of the focus of this show. But those two just put on an absolute banger of a match. And like I said, all the other ones were fantastic, but if I had to pick one other one to just watch again and highlight everything that this show was about, it would have been Ospreay Takeshita.
Rob, you were kind enough to join the Team MOW McGuire on Wrestling Facebook group and also leave some comments as the show was happening. One of the things you said is that the place was absolutely electric for Eddie Kingston. Is Eddie underrated, you think, in some fans' view for how much people are behind that guy?
I think he's got a lot more in the tank that AEW could and should utilize. I think he, I don't know how soon, but I think he could be primed for at least one main event, one heavyweight title run. He's handled these belts so great. His persona, his balls to the wall attitude is refreshing. But the way he does it, like, it doesn't come across as he's a softy at heart. This really feels like this is his persona. And as they say, what you want to do is take your persona and crank it up to 11. I think he's cranking it up to 12, and it is so refreshing to watch in today's wrestling. I think there is more that we're going to see from him as long as he stays healthy and can continue the run that he's been on. And great job by Daniel Bryan Bryan Danielson helping elevate the legacy of the Madman. He's just Eddie's special in this industry, I think.
Okay, so anybody listening to you, Rob, right now, you can tell you're obviously a fan of the show. Everybody can tell you had a great time here. Now, this is where me as the show host, I need to come in and say, okay, we have to talk about it as a round. If there was anything negative about this experience for you, besides the flight, okay, I'm talking about contained within the show itself, within the building, but outside of the travel, if there was anything that you could say, you know what, I had a great time, I loved it, but you can still come back with something like, hey, this could have been better. What do you think it would be from someone who was at the show?
So I'm having a hard time picking anything without sounding, this was by far, I went to Calgary or Canadian Stampede in your house back in late 90s. I've been to many house shows of both companies, even traveled to Kelowna to be at one of the only Canadian Nitro stops of WCW. The only thing I could really nitpick is probably just the price of the merch, which like that show was incredible. Either the price of the merch or maybe there was too many matches, but being there watching it, the pacing of everything, it really didn't feel that way. It really was a special show to be a part of and to watch in person. And like the only reason I'm actually looking at something negative is because of the question asked.
And that's just it. Like I'm not here to find anything terrible either. It's just one of those things where you have to look at it roundly and say, okay, you know what? This was great. This is great. And it's perfectly fine. This is what I don't understand is why people get upset if they can't find something to complain about. Dude, that's a totally acceptable answer as well, because if you had a great time, you had a great time. Imagine that. You went to a wrestling show and had a great time. What a crime, right?
For what I went through to get here and the price of the flights and the ticket and like put everything all together,
yeah,
I got my money's worth. If you told me that everything would play out the way that it played out, without telling me that Matt or how the show would turn out, and I got to sit there and watch that show again, no regrets, zero. Absolutely worth everything. I got my health. I got here on time. Nothing majorly bad happened. It was just a pain in the ass to get here.
But you know what? That's air travel in North America right now. So, I mean, I don't think that's even exclusive to you. So, I mean,
that's true.
Kudos for you for making the trip, dude. I mean, that's impressive enough on its own right. And again, if you want a blow-by-blow review of the show, there's tons of podcasts out there that are doing that. But I thought this would just be fun talking to a buddy who was there and giving us your honest two cents on it. Now, the last thing I have to ask you about is, of course, Sting's last match. How do you feel about everything that happened in that? Because, I mean, Darby looked like somebody had ran a bag of ketchup through a nail bed. You know, like it was gruesome to see how torn up he got. But what are your thoughts as you watch that final match and Sting is winning and leaving as a champion? I mean, take us through your brain in that moment, if you can even remember, because I mean, I'm sure it was overwhelming, just the energy in that building alone.
The crazy thing about Sting's last match was I thought I'd be more emotional, but walking away from watching that match and how they treated him afterwards and all the guys and girls in the back coming out and giving them the applause and everything, I thought I'd have a hard time. I thought I'd be somewhat of a wreck, but there was a peace. There was a calming peace about everything. He got to wrestle with his sons, from what I understand, have zero interest in getting into the business.
Yeah.
His sons got to go out there in the face paint of their dad. I thought that the Young Bucks would use this to further their heel persona. Didn't happen. The idea of Darby Allin turning on Sting ran through my head. Didn't happen. I was worried that this was going to be used to not bury, but like this could hurt Darby. This could hurt the Young Bucks. I think everything that happened in that match was absolutely needed, except for maybe that glass spot on the chairs. That was hard to watch, but that's Darby Allin in a nutshell right there. If you want to know the risk that this kid is ready to take for this industry, that says everything about his commitment to what he's doing. But yeah, there was just like an overall calm. It was one of the loudest buildings I've ever been in for a professional wrestling match, but or a card. But yeah, it, just walking away from it, it just felt right. It felt okay. I'm not upset. I'm not emotionally. This was good. This is what I think. What Sting needed to go out as a champion, undefeated in AEW. And yeah, it was just, it was very peaceful.
It's a high note. It's a high note.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, very. You know what? I'll agree to disagree when it comes to the glass spot. It just made no sense to me after it happened. But, you know, like you said, that's what Darby Allin wants to do. That's what Darby Allin's going to do. But sorry, you were about to say
They wanted to make a memorable match. And tell me anything else that happened in that match other than, like, if Sting wasn't retiring, what would you remember from that match?
Well, I can remember a lot of things, actually. Stuff. I can remember him going for the double scorpion deathlock right off the hop. I can remember him. I can remember splashing off the turnbuckles. I mean, there's 100 things that happened in that match without Darby Allin turning into a pin cushion. But you know what? It's one of those things where, either way, the biggest thing that you remember in that match is the finish, and that is Sting, like you said, going out on top and, you know, retiring as a champion. And we're finding out now through the post-show media scrum that happened that this was Tony Khan's insistence that he was going to retire him undefeated and as a champion. And I think it's a great idea. I've been saying this with Dave Meltzer on the show throughout the weeks here, with anybody else that comments. I think that this is one of those times where a guy going out on top is totally fine, because there won't be another Sting anytime soon. So it's pretty cool.
I'm not trying to compare the two, but, you know, just like Peyton Manning going out or John Elway going out with a championship, this was the perfect icing on the cake for the career of Sting.
All right. Well, last thing with Rob Jameson before we let you go, again, thanks for your on-site review of everything that happened. We have to talk about what happened in the airport today. As we were talking, so we're lining up this call, you messaged me saying, hey, I just got to grab something to eat. I said, no problem. And then?
And then basically I walk into a cafe here, and the funny thing is Sting's son, the one who played the surfer Sting, is sitting there with his partner, and they're having their lunch or whatever. And I kind of talked to him a little bit earlier, thanked him for what he did last night for the show and everything like that. And just oblivious. And then you messaged me. I said, you know, give me a little bit of time. And out of the corner of my eye, I see this like wild suit jacket or whatever. And then the streaky blonde hair. And I'm like, okay, Nature Boy is sitting right there. And I messaged you and you're like, you got to go up and say hi. And I'm like, I'm going to. I just totally got nervous and everything. Walk up to him, shook his hand, and just said, you know, thank you for everything you've done for the business. I mean, the guy's putting his body on the line at last night's show at his age.
That double super kick. Yep.
Yeah. Just tremendous. You know, didn't want to bother him. He kind of felt like he didn't want to be bothered either, but to have that moment to shake his hand was huge. And then I sat down and dropped fries because I was shaking so bloody hard, so nervous. I'm not gonna lie. I you know, it's one of those things where, like, there's a certain level of stardom I can just go and walk up and just, you know, treat them like human beings. But this is Ric Flair. I mean, come on. I'm sitting in the Greensboro airport having a chicken burger and the Nature Boys just sitting there having a beer. Like, yeah, what is this? What's going on here?
How was the chicken burger? Was that all right?
It's delicious. It was fantastic. I highly recommend you're down here. I can't even remember what the restaurant's called that I was at, but if you're by gate 25 on United Airlines, not sponsored, grab a chicken burger from the pub.
Well, I think that now we've gotten down to how the chicken burger was. I don't think we can go any deeper as to how your experience was in Greensboro. But for the most part, man, I just want to thank you for sharing your experience. And for those listening, I hope you enjoyed this kind of little bonus chat with Rob, who, again, was at AEW Revolution. And I guess I'll be seeing you at the end of the month, man. We're back on pay-per-view for Dungeon Wrestling. That's coming up real quick. So I will see you then, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Mike. It was my pleasure.